Hey there, I'm Kevin Daisy.
And I'm Eric Olson.
You're listening to the Managing Partners Podcast, where we interview top lawyers about how they're growing their firms. Hey there, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. I'm Kevin, and I'm your host. Today, I have a guest, a gentleman I've been talking to for a little while now, and has a cool practice and an interesting dynamic, but I have John Halaby on the show today, so welcome to the show.
Yeah, Kevin, thank you. Glad to be on. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah. Me and John, we've had a few technical difficulties getting him on the show and working some stuff out, and I appreciate him sticking through that with us. So, but yeah, we're here today to share his story and about his firm. And a kind of a cool dynamic. It's a husband and wife partnership in their firm. So always interesting to kind of talk about that and how that's different. And of course, you know, John's got some unique, you know, practice areas and background experience too. So hope you can learn a lot today from John, and we'll get into it. So John, you know, tell us your story, you know, how you became an attorney and, of course, having your own practice.
Yeah, so Kevin, great. So I've been practicing since the 90s. Went to law school right out of college, and went to college in the state of Ohio, and went to law school in Ohio as well, Case Western Reserve University School of Law. And so my wife, attorney Julie Halaby, she was in the same class. So we were both law school students, yep, at the same time. And I'm trying to remember how we first came into contact. Of course, when you're students, right, you see each other on many occasions, but it might have been a few different instances. One that I remember is that I was always having trouble kind of seeing what was going on, difficulties with, I don't know if I even had contacts back then, but she was wearing glasses and asked if I could borrow them for a moment. Of course, they were one of the first instances where we came across each other. It's another instance, and this is kind of a funny story. So she, we were at a law school Halloween party. Her costume was a tree. So what she did was find some twigs, branches, things like that. Her friends helped her put them on her back and whatnot. So that was her costume, a tree. I saw her at the party. Mine was pretty simple. It was basically a hat, like a Cossack's hat. So I was a Russian, so that was my costume. I saw her at the party, and I started talking to her. She said that I was the first one that came up to her and did not start breaking her branches or her twigs or trying to pull the thing off of her, and thought that was kind of a gracious way to approach her and talk to her. So that was another one of our initial instances of contact in school. So kind of got started off to a great great beginning at that point. We did run into a little bit of a headwind when, I'm here in Massachusetts, and she's a native from Massachusetts, and we both went to school in Ohio. She had no intention of staying in the Cleveland area where the law school was, or state of Ohio, so she was planning to take the Massachusetts bar exam, and we never really had to talk about this, but at some point you have to commit to what state you're going to prepare for and take the class in, and we're standing in line, and they have, at least this law school was the Ohio line and the all other states, so we said, okay, we'll meet for the bar brie get together to go and register for the bar. Sounds good. We meet, and then we proceed to get into different lines. And then there was sort of the, why are you in that line? Why are you in that line? So we had to have that talk. So I did take the bar exam in the state of Ohio, and she took the Massachusetts bar exam. Both passed, started practicing for a little while, and I got a job through a connection in the state of Colorado. So I practiced out there for a bit.
So you went different ways, pretty much.
Exactly. So she eventually visited Colorado and liked it. So we started to work out there. So we both lived out there and had jobs at different law firms for about 10 years before coming to Massachusetts. And at that point, I took a job at a law firm in the city of Boston, and kind of an interesting way to get into work, I took a boat. So I took what they call the Hingham boat here in South Shore, Massachusetts, which is a ferry ride, depending on what kind of boat you get on. The slow one's about 40 minutes, the fast one's about 25 minutes. And it was a great way to go to work. So that worked out nicely.
That's pretty cool. Hey there, this is Kevin Daisy, your host and founder of Array Digital. If you're tired of wasting money with agencies that just can't get it done, then please check out my law firm, digital marketing agency, at arraydigital.com. If you contact us there, you'll be sure to line up a meeting with me where we'll walk through your exact situation and come up with a plan for what you can do to improve your marketing results. I look forward to talking to you. Now back to the show. So you all moved to Massachusetts. When did you start the firm, and kind of what was that process? Like, what led you all to start your own practice?
You know, I liked the firm that I was at. Didn't have enough kind of control over what I wanted to do as a business owner and, you know, pursue, you know, being more of a owner, manager, entrepreneur than just practitioner. So I kind of always had that interest once I'd been out of law school for a little while, and the firm I was at, that kind of wasn't the way that, you know, my direction was going to be able to, you know, go forward. So I had those interests. And Julie, after we had practiced out in Colorado for a while, took a few years off to be with our kids when they were really young at that time, which was mid-2000s, like around 2005. And we decided now is a great time to try our own firm. After she'd been out for a bit, take care of the kids. They were getting a little older. She'd start.
A little easier to do it then. Yeah, I have kids too, so I understand.
Oh, yeah, so that's what we did. Kind of partnered up and took off really fast. Surprisingly, I thought we would hit a few more headwinds, but we started out just, you know, working at home. Of course, now that's what everything's back to now, but this is 2011, yeah. So it was a little bit of a situation that couldn't really sustain itself at that time, but for very long, but we did that for a bit.
Well, as I say, you started your firm right before the housing crash and market crash and all that stuff in 2008, 2009, whatever. So yeah.
Yeah, so that was really tricky. And the funny thing, too, is that after Julie was out with the kids for a bit, rather than go back to a practice initially, we decided to do a house flip while I was working at the firm, and then she would do that. We had been real lucky with that with our own homes for a while, and we would do it as a business venture. And we definitely learned our licks in that business for a bit. We could do some minor work ourselves, but it was mostly finding the right property, which we thought we found. And then, as you referenced, the market took a big downturn with the TARP bailout and the Bear Stearns failure, all of those issues that came out 2008 mm-hmm. or yeah. whatever. And so after that, we thought the law firm would be a breeze. So, which it kind of.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, a lot of business ownership, entrepreneurship is getting some of those hard lessons, but I think that's kind of part of this journey, right? And you learn, even if it's not the same kind of business, you know, you got beat up and you're like, okay, I'm going to be a little smarter about what I'm doing. So I started my company in 2006, so I was kind of right there with you.
Yeah, so you know, and it's certainly a unique set of challenges, you know, versus at least my world up until that point was, you know, billing the hours, learning the practice, getting the cadence of the community, legal community, and doing the best for your clients. And still do that, of course, but, you know, to do it as your own shop, a totally different set of challenges, concerns, you know, things to watch out for.
Oh, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Everyone listening here, you know, the attorneys listening in that haven't started or that maybe they just started. Of course, I got a lot of veteran listeners, too, that are doing very well. And it's, you know, when you go off on your own, it's, yeah, you're the... the practitioner, right? You're the one that does the work. That's why that's why most people start their own firm. But then you're not just doing the work anymore. You have to do everything else and run the business and payroll and taxes and all the other stuff that you're not really prepared for. You know, and that's what this show is mostly about. It's just, you know, how that has worked out well for some and the failures, you know, that we have as well. And it's challenging. It's not easy. That's for sure. So, and then you have a wife working with you too. So, and you got, you know, your partners together. So,
right. For the most part, we've always, you know, been in close communication throughout the day, but physically separated. So she's remained kind of at a home office and largely works out of the physical location here in Hingham for meetings and certain other things, but does a lot of her practitioner work at the home office. So that makes things a little bit easier in terms of the physical separation. And every night we're talking about cases, every night we're talking about business issues. So we kind of reconvene that way. So it's a cycle of work that knows no rest.
I can imagine. I mean, my wife works from home, but she does something totally different, and she doesn't own a business. So, you know, I talk about business a little bit, but it's not too much as much. But we have real estate. You said you were doing house flipping. So me and my wife own some real estate, and we kind of have our own little side business, if you will, which is kind of cool to kind of keep things. You know, I mean, I like just talking about business all day. And so that's adds that kind of cool dynamic there that she gets to be kind of part of that. So, and actually, I just had a lawyer on, Stacey Isaac. She's a workers' compensation firm down in Florida. Her and her husband and another partner have a firm together. And they have very defined roles, which I was going to ask if, you know, you guys are doing that. But like, he's a head of marketing, and she's all about client journey. So intake, you know, the sales side, and then how the clients are handled. So what do you guys, you know, do you have any defined roles, like, individually at the firm that you kind of head up that you're kind of better at than her and vice versa?
Yeah, so I think, you know, there's various things to do, so I could maybe run through them off the top of my head. I guess one thing is business development, so we both do that. My focus is a little bit more on communications with other professionals, and then hers is largely client retention, because she's a little bit more of an active practitioner than I am. So many of her matters are repeat matters, repeat clients, folks like that. So her angle with regard to the business development is cultivating, you know, those that we already have, and then mine is a little bit more interfacing with potential new folks through other professionals. So we kind of divide that up a little bit.
Excellent.
We jointly share personnel issues. So one thing with that is my...
Wait, you have personnel issues? What? No one ever has that.
Sometimes they are as easy as, boy, should we go with this person? They're a great candidate. Let's hire them. To, we got to make some change up, or we're growing and we need somebody, but how can we find somebody? So, there's, you know, there's always issues going on. When it gets technical, she's an employment lawyer, so she's the advisory person with regard to any decisions that need to be made. Make sure we're in compliance with whatever we need to be in compliance with. But on the business end of things, when it comes to that, it's kind of a joint thing for sure. I do a lot of the finances, so when it comes to just tracking the expenses, monitoring the revenue, dealing with the CPA, projections, you know, things like that, that's kind of more me, mostly because no one else wants to do that in the firm. So I think by default I wound up with that, but I've always been okay with that. Even when I was 12 and I had a paper route, I was pretty good at monitoring the dimes and quarters and everything. So maybe that's just been in my blood for all those years.
You got to have someone to do that. I mean, my business partner, Eric, that's what he does. He's admin, you know, invoicing, billing, books, projections, numbers. That's where he plays. And we would not be doing well if that was what I had to do. So I'm all sales and marketing and work with clients and new clients. So yeah, we have our separate, you know, lanes that we're in, which is great. So
yeah, I think you're right. You have to have that person who's willing to, you know, pay attention enough to make sure it's correct and willing to do it for sure. So in terms of practice management, you know, we do have our separate areas. So Julie focuses mostly on employment law, and that's representing mostly employees. Okay. To some extent, businesses and management also. And then she does business disputes also. And a little bit of business transactional and contract drafting and negotiations. But 80 to 85% of it is employment law. So,
what about you? What do you focus on?
Yeah, my practice, yeah. So it's traditionally we had worked for insurance companies. So that was my background. Had handled matters for companies, sometimes giving them advice under policies in terms of what they had to do when they're faced with a loss, whether there's coverage or not coverage, what the duties and obligations are, things like that. But the bigger part of what I did was handling litigation on behalf of their policyholders when whoever holds a policy of insurance is sued. So for negligent conduct, usually causing injury to people, sometimes property damage, sometimes both. A lot of times just, you know, not keeping your eye on the ball as a person or a company, and somebody gets hurt, unfortunately. And then we give a legal defense to the negligent party, arguing as to whether there really was fault and whether the plaintiff is damaged, and if so, you know, the amount of the damages and what a reasonable resolution might be. And sometimes that's some money, sometimes it's nothing, and sometimes it's somewhere in the middle. And if you can't resolve it, then you resolve it through arbitration or a jury trial or other ways of alternative dispute resolution. So that was sort of traditionally my background, and we do some of that still.
Okay.
Do a little bit for insurance companies, but mostly represent injured plaintiffs in these injury cases, and then also handle the insurance coverage issues surrounding, you know, who has to pay and then to what extent. So, if you want, I can give you examples of all this. I don't know if I'm going to get bogged down in the technicalities, but we do a lot of insurance coverage as well as the injury. And then we do other litigation, too. We do business-to-business disputes. We do trust and probate disputes surrounding enforceability of a particular document, estate document such as a trust or will, who collects under an estate plan, whether somebody who had later passed away, whether that decedent had capacity to execute a document. So we do those disputes too. So a number of different areas.
Do you see like clients going cross over to different things? Like, so if you have a client that you're helping with one issue, that they come to you for some of these other issues as well?
Yeah, sure. We have one right now who is somebody who we're representing in one capacity in a business issue, and unfortunately was involved in a motor vehicle accident and can probably handle both issues. So that's one example. We also have folks who, you know, if it's a business, they're going to be facing legal issues on an ongoing basis, depending on how big they are. So
the bigger, the more issues.
Bigger they are, the more issues for sure. And then, you know, sometimes employees will have a situation where they're presented with a severance agreement, and we negotiate that for them to try and get them some more money if they face some illegal conduct, and then resolve that matter for them. And then 5 years later, won't find themselves in a predicament that's different but sort of similar to some extent, and then we'll handle another matter for them. So
nice.
So there'll be sort of repeat situations people may face, as well as cross needs by and between our different areas of practice.
I mean, yeah, I just think that's such a huge opportunity for law firms out there, that, you know, to take care of the customers, to have great communication, to, you know, not just, you know, do what you need to do for them, but everything around it, and trying to always improve that. You know, it's challenging, but it leads to just the referrals and the repeat business. And so that's, you know, kind of the lifeblood of a firm to do well. Because, you know, we do marketing for law firms. So, like, you can market and send leads all day long, but if they're not coming in right and they're not being handled properly, then they're not referrals on the back end. And so you're just constantly trying to bring in the leads, but you're not cultivating that, you know, customer or client to refer others or to come back. Right. So I just think that's one of the big issues I see with a lot of firms out there, is doing that well. And it can be, it's hard when you're starting out, of course, you know, because you're just trying to do the work. And at some point, you gotta start taking care of that stuff. So, well, yeah, I appreciate you sharing. I mean, go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's absolutely true. I think that you're always looking for new relationships, but if you don't have, you know, some sort of assurance that the relationships you already have are going to come back to you for their needs or education down the road, you're just going to need too many new folks that it's just not going to work out. You know, you're only going to grow from folks being happy and coming back to you, you know, in addition to, you know, relationship with new folks.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think it's one of the most, you know, biggest issues I see, you know, when I'm talking to firms or even the clients that we have, like sometimes, like I'll give them a call and no one answers, or there's no phone, you know, someone just always there, or there's the delay, or just different things like that to say, okay, well, you know, and then once you're a client in the door, what happens after that, right? How's that handled? But anyway, it sounds like you guys are doing a good job with all that, and cool dynamic, you know, way you got set up over there, husband and wife, pretty cool. I love seeing that. And I wanted to kind of ask you one tip you would give, like a new firm starting out, just like you did back in, 2005. Like, what's kind of a tip you would give them right now and kind of today's, you know, climate, if you will?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, a couple of things. I mean, I guess the way I would phrase it is there's work out there, and you have to be careful to make sure that you are staying in your lane enough to know what you're doing and doing a good job and servicing the client, while not being so concerned that maybe you're stepping out of your comfort zone a little bit, because every case is going to be a little bit different than the other case. So if you sort of sit back and you're like, I'm going to just do A and that's all I'm ever going to do, you're going to constrain yourself too much. But if you're the guy willing to do A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, then, you know, you got to be careful about whether you're really servicing the client. You're just trying to have things come in to keep you busy. So kind of keeping that middle balance, you know, calibrating yourself to what you know you're good with and what you can effectively grow your practice in is something that I think it's key to keep in mind, but it's best learned, you know, through trial and error, I think. That's one big thing that we really, really have learned. There's been many matters I felt like, boy, that would have been a good one. Why did we give that up? It was a little too uncomfortable, maybe, maybe not, versus, oof, now we're into this situation. We're going to have to spend all our time making sure we do the best job and, you know, sacrificing our personal lives over that. So that's one piece of advice.
That's you great.
Know, another piece of advice, yeah, and I've always believed in this, is just getting good help. Some people like to do everything themselves, and you know, you might save a little money, but you end up just running ragged. And I think having folks help you out who are better at doing some tasks than you are, even if you have to put out some finances for that, is always the way I've looked at it. It kind of makes sense. Might spend some money now, but you're going to save yourself some money later. And that's what's going to allow for growth.
Oh, man, 100%. Those are both great pieces of advice. I totally agree with you. I know in my career, when I started out, I wanted to do anything someone had. Like we did websites, and that was pretty much all I did in the beginning. Hey, I got a logo. Can you design this? Can you make a flyer for me? I was just doing all kinds of stuff, and it just takes away from the core. And then, yeah, you're not making as much as you probably could if you just said, hey, you know what? This is what we're going to be good at. We can kind of stray outside a little bit to help people out, but you know, I think really having your main focus and but be flexible too. To your point, you don't want to be constraining yourself too much. And then, with good help, I mean, as a startup, right? If you're just starting out, that's probably the hardest thing to do, is to hire that first person. One, to come to the conclusion that you're willing to do it, give up some control, and you know, and then yeah, the cost, you know, and weighing that and saying, hey, can I afford that? So, and I think that's, you know, a lot of folks stay solos for a long time, probably because of those two reasons. Even though they don't understand that when they hire that person, they should be increasing, hopefully doubling their practice income. With that right person. If it's not the right person, you could go backwards. And I did that once. So that's a hard one to do. That first one, though, is once you get past that, if they're a good person and they want to be there with you, it's night and day. And then they'll help you hire the next person. And they'll be passionate about that and making sure it's the right person for you if they're all in. So huge.
And it seems to me that you find out if somebody is really going to be good right away. You know, some folks, you interview them, it seems pretty good. They step into the role and you're wondering why things aren't working as well as they should. I feel like you find that out pretty quick. And then other folks, when they just kind of take to it fast, they're already starting to understand the issues. They're thinking ahead of you. That happens fast. And you realize, you know, who's going to really perform pretty quickly. And you hope that, you know, those that are doing really well, you know, enjoy it, are going to feel like they're flourishing and stay with you. So we've had some good luck with some folks who've been with us for a long time. We've had a couple of people that didn't work out pretty quickly, but, you know, it was good that we kind of addressed that right away. And the folks that have stayed here have all been here a long time, which is great. So.
Well, you know, what's the saying? Hire slow, fire fast is one of the popular stands out there. You know, it's hard. I mean, you know, we have amazing people, and you know, every once in a while, it's like we'll have someone that, you know, we did our due diligence, took our time, but you know, as you get bigger, it's, you know, some things can fall through the cracks. But every once in a while, you get someone that says, you know, not a fit, and you find out, like you're saying, it's fairly quick. And if you have a good team around you, they're going to notice that. Not just you having to notice that. They'll flush it out. That's the ultimate right there.
So. Your eyes and ears have to be just not your own. You know, you got to have your feelers out and talking to people who are on the ground with, okay, how are these documents that are going out? You know, how is everybody getting along? You know, how is so-and-so with the clients?
Yeah.
You know, everything. Yeah. And you're thinking about it, but you're only, you know, your senses only go so far. So you got to have other folks looking for you. For sure.
It's funny sometimes I'll have a, you know, where I hear something and I'm like, what? That person? Like, because I interact with the whole team a lot. Unfortunately, it's just have a lot of people, but I'm surprised sometimes. I'm like, well, if you're saying that and you all are concerned, then that's all I need to know, you know? So it's let them handle it from there and then get involved if I have to. But that's a good place to be versus, you know, when you're young and you don't know enough to not know, and then you're just running and gunning, you know. So well, man, I appreciate you coming on, John, and sharing your story. And you know, say hello to your wife Julie and tell her we had a cool talk today. So Anything else you want to share before we sign off?
No, yeah. So, Kevin, thank you very much for this opportunity. It's nice to talk about these things a little bit and get out of just the technical things that we deal with all day and talk about what it's like to kind of grow the business, work together, some of these other things that we had a chance to get together on. And we, as you say, we've been in business a number of years. We've grown. And we're still small enough to give a lot of personal attention. So every person that calls, everyone who is with us, is known by our staff personally. And I know what's going on in every case in the office. Obviously, some I'm in depth working on, other ones just know the issues and know what's going on. But there's no matter in the office that I don't know anything about. Every single matter, I know something about.
Love that. That's awesome. It's a good place to be. And I appreciate that. I mean, that's again what the show's all about. You know, we talk about business and the ups and downs, the good, the bad, the ugly. And that's what I love talking about. And just trying to help others out there learn anything they can from this episode and others and improve their law firms. And that's what it's all about. So we're all in this together.
It's great. You do a great job on all the podcasts. I had a chance to listen to some of them. They're great.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Great job. You know, great selection of folks to lend their experiences to, and do a great job, you know, just finding a good group of potential interviewees. So,
we try to reach out and find unique situations and things like that, and bring on the best we can. So, everyone, you know, thanks for listening today. And John, what's the best way for all the attorneys out there listening to connect with you?
Yeah, sure. So we're in Hingham, Massachusetts. We're located at 14 Main Street in Hingham. And our office line, best number to reach us, 781-749-0909. And we have two assistants full-time who will always be here. One of them, at least one, to answer every call, Lisa and Bridget. So if you have the need to share any particular situation you would like to have some education on or speak with us, that's how to reach us.
Nice. And then it's HallabyLegal.com, I believe, is your website, right?
Yes, HallabyLegal.com. That's right.
Awesome. Well, everyone, thanks for tuning in. If you need anything from John or have a referral or need, you know, someone with their background experience that your law firm doesn't handle, and connect with them and reach out to them. So other than that, we'll see you next time. This is an awesome episode, and John, I appreciate it. We'll see you soon.
Kevin, thank you.
Thank you for listening. We have been producing this podcast for years, have had hundreds of guests, and produced hundreds of episodes. We don't ask for much, but I do have one ask. If you find value in this podcast, please share it with one person just like you. The best way to do that is to send them to ArrayDigital.com, where we have a full library of all the episodes that they can sort by practice area and or state. So again, we appreciate you listening, and thanks for sharing.